WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
A year after her divorce in 1984, Mary Kay Blakely was juggling the stresses of being a freelance writer, raising her two sons alone, and grieving over her brother Frank's suicide. She had been recently diagnosed as being diabetic following exploratory surgery. A bad case of the flu tipped the scales, and Mary Kay Blakely passed into a temporary coma. In her memoir, Wake Me When It's Over, Blakely tells us what it's like to be in a coma. Although she was unable to respond to the outside world while she was in that state, she did have some sense of her surroundings.
It's possible that I was nearly surfacing to consciousness, and those were probably the times during which I could hear and I could sense touch. I mean, the people that were with me during that 9 days also told me about stories that they had told that I have no recollection of at all, but I have vivid recollections of some of the stories, and there were periods of time during that 9 days when I felt the most enormous peace. It was more restful, and it was more, I can only describe it as euphoric kind of feeling. I had no desire to return to my body.
When you were in this 9-day coma, where did you go?
Well, my thoughts certainly raced all over the place. A sound or a touch would trigger memories. I would watch these dreams and I would have these recollections, but with a peculiar kind of detachment and peace. It was almost as if I could see my life for the first time because I had no emotional involvement with it. It was only a kind of mild curiosity. And during the coma, I had this, I knew that I was in a hospital during periods of time, and I couldn't remember why. I thought maybe I had been in a car accident, but I couldn't remember the car accident. And I knew that I couldn't see, and I knew that I was paralyzed, but these facts were not at all alarming to me. They were only curious.
Was it kind of like watching someone else's life?
It really was. It was exactly like that.
I was interested to note in your book that your thoughts turned to your family, and that seems to be where, as you were sort of woken up into these dreams or memories, that you went to your family.
They did. My family dominated my dreams, and in fact, dreams about my brother and recollections of his life, and recalling that in a kind of peacefulness was really very useful to me. I really believe that the dreams and the recollections, and certainly the 3 weeks of recovery time in the hospital afterwards, you see your life differently from the perspective of a hospital bed. It alters what you think is important, and I'm actually glad to know this at an age where I'm still able to do something about it. I feel actually lucky to have had this experience.
When others were watching you in your coma, I mean, you describe the kinds of experiences, internal experiences that you were having, what were doctors and friends seeing you were doing on your bed?
The exterior of a coma is certainly frightening to see. My limbs would thrash periodically, and my sister describes expressions that she had interpreted as terrible pain. My face would grimace, and there were procedures that were done to me while I was in the coma, suctioning my lungs, which were very painful. And the family members of a coma patient have to look at something that looks like enormous excruciating pain, but a coma patient doesn't experience that pain herself.
Do you remember waking up or coming to?
I do. I have different recollections. I certainly remember Larry, my friend who was with me throughout the whole 9 days, touching both of my cheeks and bending down to kiss me and saying, "You just don't know how happy I am to see you." I didn't know what had happened. I thought I had just had a very long sleep and I was suffering a severe cognitive hangover. I couldn't wrap my mind around the word coma. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know that's what had happened to me. I was still immensely disoriented for the next 2 weeks trying to figure out what had happened. And my first recollection in the hospital, my first recollection of opening my eyes was hearing people shout my name loudly and opening my eyes just a crack and seeing the fuzzy outline of three silhouettes against leaning over my bed shouting my name and holding up their hands, asking me if I could count their fingers for them. And my first conscious thought was, who are these guys and why don't they know how to count their own fingers? I was just irritated.
Did you feel rested?
I didn't feel great, I have to tell you that. It wasn't a wonderful feeling. I felt rested by the time I left the hospital, but it was just astonishing to me how much physical damage had happened to my body in the course of 9 days. I mean, my weight had dropped under 90 pounds, and what happens in a coma is that the limbs begin to atrophy. So your hands and your feet begin to turn in on themselves. This is called contracture. And while my coma was only 9 days, it took me an entire week to be able to open my hand, which was in a fist. Mm. So there was, I didn't feel physically terrific. What it did do, though, for the next 4 months is it completely slowed my pace down. And probably for the first time in my life, I felt like I had total permission to recover. The only thing that people seem to expect of me is that I stay upright and conscious and continue to breathe.
I think in the old days, if we can say that, people got sick and then they got better, and they didn't spend a lot of time thinking about how they got that way.
Right.
It's interesting, though, and I wonder that how much of ascribing psychological reasons for physical conditions is really a kind of sign of the 80s. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but I think it's an interesting phenomenon that now every time anyone gets a cold, they're examining the psychological reason for it.
Well, and I think even medical science is recognizing that psychology and emotions play a great role in our vulnerability to illness. Certainly germs are real. They're verifiable. We can see that. Bacteria can cause and produce certain symptoms. But I think, you know, if an embarrassing thought can cause your face to turn red, and that's a definite physical response to an emotional idea, then I certainly think that we can't ignore that the mind has a tremendous sway over body chemistry. And we're still trying to untangle what's what, what comes first, the emotions or the illness. But, if we can alter our chemistry with drugs and relieve depression, then certainly depression is not simply an emotional disorder. It could certainly also be a physical disorder. Trying to figure out which is which, you know, which requires emotional changes in your life, which requires physical changes in your life, it probably is a symptom of the 80s, but I think it's important to explore that.
How did this coma change your life?
Well, you know, I think I haven't changed the things that I do, but I've certainly changed the way that I do them. I feel so much more pleasure in my life now. And I guess it made me realize, too, that the time that I have to live together with my children is finite. They'll be moving on soon into their own independent lives, and I didn't want to simply be stressed out through this period. I really wanted to enjoy them. They're two terrific people, and I feel the same way about my family and my parents, and I just wanted to make sure that I took the time so that doing things now is just not simply a matter of checking things off on the list, but I do things that give me pleasure.
I'm curious about whether you trust your body or whether, having had this brush with death, you take your temperature, so to speak,
I do. In fact, you know, when I feel myself dragging down or getting tired, I know that I'm vulnerable, and I know, you know, I have extensive knowledge of my body now, and I know what are my vulnerable parts. I know when I get bronchitis or when I get a cold or my pulmonary system is the weakest, and that will respond first. You know, I still have long, long days, but I try not to have too many of them in a row. And, and I guess I take more time to just plain take preventive care of my body, too.
Are you afraid of being a hypochondriac?
No, I don't think that applies in my case. I think I so busily ignored bodily symptoms that now I think a little touch of hypochondria in my case might even be healthy.
Do you miss your coma state?
I think about it often. In fact, I would say that one of the other dramatic changes for me is the whole experience altered my feelings about death. I no longer look at death as a terrifying alternative to life. I think of death now as a really peaceful and maybe even a euphoric state. That's where I expect to go again. I don't, however, feel like I want to go there real soon. I mean, I don't feel unhappy with life, and I wouldn't choose that. But it's just made me feel peaceful about my life, too.
Well, thank you, Mary Kay Blakely, for talking with us on Fresh Air today.
Thank you, Marty.